Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, last week on May 22nd, I had the opportunity to do a do a talk at a at a school.
Right.
I was part of this a great right. forum about social media. It was for an elementary / middle school here in town, and they were struggling with social media. And so the talk was all about social media. And we had, there were a couple of police officers or sheriff's deputies on the panel. Myself, a local business leader, and a IT person.
Right.
And I got to sit like right in the middle. It was tough. I felt, it's difficult to talk about some of these things when there's a police officer sitting right
That's
next
right.
to you. And I'm
when the deputy is right there.
Yeah. Because people, the issue of punishment came up. And I go, I really don't like punishment all that much. And I like had to be cautious because there was a sheriff's deputy right next to me.
Mm-hmm. And you're a communist.
But he was very nice. And so he didn't.
He just didn't agree with you.
That's true. He did not agree with me.
He was nice about it.
He was nice about it. He said, I think you're wrong. But, but what was this is off topic, but what was really funny, I don't think I told you the story, is that he said he disagreed with me, and then he like went into a story about how punishment didn't work with his with
right.
some of his kids.
It didn't work anyway.
Kids that he's worked with, so
but he doesn't
like,
agree.
Yeah. So it was great.
In the face of all the evidence, we cling to our
That's right.
beliefs.
We have to hold on to that stuff. But that's not the topic of this podcast.
What is?
The topic of this podcast is a great question that came after that forum, where a teacher came up and was talking to me about some observations she has made, where kids who spend lots of time on social media,
right.
and not just social media, but also like video games, where they're interacting with a lot. I think she specifically was talking about like YouTubers who you know, who do video game tutorials on there and everything, and they are now interacting with their listeners and their subscribers, and because of that she's seeing some significant changes in their overall social skills, and she referred to it as personality, even, that is just changing who they seem to be. It's changing how they interact with other people. It's changing how they talk to other people.
Right.
And so it might be a good topic for us.
It's an excellent topic for us.
I'm glad that we're talking about this topic.
You're stealing. I know what that means. You've been waiting to use that.
I have been.
You for weeks.
I have been.
I'm not going to say anything then.
You're not?
About how glad I am that we're talking about this.
I'm just going to cut that one clip and
there you go.
Cut
just
out
edit
the,
that out.
I'm not going to part.
Edit it. Just... You know, you have editorial prerogative.
That's right. But this is an important topic.
It really is, because it comes up over and over and over again. And I don't even... What are you going to say about it?
You're flabbergasted.
We've lost the battle. We, parents, teachers, we've lost the battle of technology.
Mm-hmm.
However, what is happening... Everybody loves technology. We get iPads for two-year-olds.
I like how you like sit back and you're like,
no,
this is it.
We get iPads for two-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wants technology. Mm-hmm. Technology, technology, technology. And it's wonderful. So are vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a condition called vitaminosis, where you take too many vitamins.
That's a great word.
Okay. Vegetables are good for you.
Vegetalosis?
But you eat too many carrots, you're going to turn orange. Okay. So you can't... You know, everything's good for you. Milk is good for you. But if you drink too much, you're going to have brittle bones. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with technology.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is okay, done in moderation. The problem with social media is it's being used to excess.
Right.
Okay? And that's the problem, and that's really what we're talking about here.
Right.
Is we're talking about using social media to excess, and when you do, it does have deleterious effects.
Right.
Okay. That's what that's what this teacher is referring to.
Yeah. In the conversation, and I shared that message with the audience at the forum that the battle has been lost.
Oh, yeah.
That we should sort of get rid of this idea that we're going to go back to the absence of technology. I mean,
or that you can control it in some way,
right? You know, if popular television programs tell us anything, though, it's possible that we could, you know, live in an age where all of our technology disappears. But that's not likely. No. We are where we are, and the reality is of course that there are new methods of social media coming out every day.
It's too fast to keep up with.
Right.
Parents who think that they can keep up with it
are
deluding themselves.
And the producers of social media apps and platforms and things, they're ingenious.
What you have to remember is,
I mean, they're doing a great job of getting us connected to where we have to stay connected.
I worked at a computer company for a year. And what you don't realize is that a place
the irony with that.
That I worked at a computer company.
Who would have? Fantastic.
Nobody would guess. They kept me in a very small corner.
You were working on a typewriter and everybody else was on a computer.
Now, you be nice. I was working on a real computer. But they kept me in a little dark corner. And they let me... you don't realize is that, think of Google, the enormous place that Google is, or Facebook. How many employees does Facebook have? Thousands. And these people, these thousands of intelligent people, are sitting down 24 hours a day changing these things.
Mm-hmm.
You can't possibly keep up with it.
And not just that. But they're smart people.
They're engineers. These are highly educated people.
I mean, when you go to Facebook and something pops up and you're like, oh man, that's great. I'm really interested in that. That's because some dude is sitting in a dark corner somewhere that comes up with an algorithm to figure out how to know what would be interesting to you.
That's right.
And that's why that pops up.
Not you, you as an individual.
You specifically.
Based on where you go.
Right.
They're tracking you.
Mm-hmm.
Google's tracking you.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is tracking you. Mm-hmm. Who else is tracking? We don't know.
I know.
But we're being tracked.
Yeah.
Okay? But you can't possibly get ahead of these engineers. You're not battling. There are thousands of highly intelligent people working on this thing round the clock in every country in the world.
Right.
You cannot possibly get ahead of it.
Right.
And your kids are going to know before you do.
Right. So with that optimism in mind...
Well, you know, it would be like, you know, Don Quixote or whistling into the wind or, you know, stop fighting that battle because there's not going to be any payoff. Well, trying to limit or stay ahead of it.
Well, somebody brought up, you know, this is more your area than mine.
I thought you were going to say your generation than mine.
I was going to.
Bag hammers.
I was going to.
Okay.
But well, it was either nice. Plato or Socrates.
That's my generation.
Who like, said some of the same things we're saying about technology, they said about books.
They said about reading.
Right.
Socrates did not want children to learn how to read.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, this is not new. This is certainly the newest technology, reading is a technology.
Right.
Anytime a new technology comes out, those from the older generation are very concerned and suspicious and anxious about that, while the younger generation embraces it and uses it to its fullest, and sometimes abuses it.
Yeah, Socrates is very concerned that if children began to read, they would lose the ability to talk and listen.
Right.
You know, what happens to how we transmit knowledge?
Right.
Because we transmit knowledge by listening and talking.
Mm-hmm.
If they start reading... How will we do
They'll
this?
They'll shut themselves away, and
that's
they
right.
won't.
We will never see them
we'll
again.
We'll lose the oral traditions.
Right.
So
it's not new.
Right.
I mean, this battle
of
the new technology.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the observation, I suppose, of the way in which social media can change the way that we interact in real life, I think is a real phenomenon. It's a real experience because, you know, when we interact in social media, we try to do so in as succinct and direct and abbreviated way as possible. Mm-hmm. We use, you know, abbreviations. We use shorthand for lots of different things. That's not real shorthand. It's just shorthand that we make up on the fly, but somehow we figure out what it means. And then we send these out and we try to have these multiple conversations all at the same time. I mean, I don't know, I know that we've talked about this before, but you know, you can have, you can be conversing with five or six or ten people all at one time via text message.
Having different conversations.
And very different conversations, right.
Right.
And so you're constantly putting this out there. Mm-hmm. That's highly stimulating, right. For one. Mm-hmm. For two, it's highly reinforcing when you hear that ba-ding, mm-hmm. and that means that you have a new message that's reinforcing you, makes you want to go and check it.
Right.
So there is a lot of it built in that is innately reinforcing.
Right.
So we get connected to it and we get stuck to it. And that becomes the primary way in which we communicate. The problem is that when it is the only way that we communicate, we begin to lose some of the important manners and behaviors that we need to interact directly, face to face. You know, when I can text something to you, and I can say it in, not that I do, but I can text something to you in something really mean.
Yeah.
And hit send, but I don't have to look at how you receive that.
Right.
And then you're going to maybe send something back or maybe not, and mm-hmm. we'll go from there. If we're face to face and I say something mean, you're going to give me some type of visual response, mm-hmm. Whether it's a verbal response or not, but I'm going to see that. And if we, the fewer of those kinds of experiences that we have, the less ability we have or the less skilled we are at interpreting those nonverbal cues.
That's a
massive, massive problem.
That's right. If children are doing most of their communicating on devices,
or adults are doing most of their communication. Yeah.
True. If an individual is doing most of his or her communicating on a device, their brain is going to get very good at communicating that way.
Right.
And you are going to eventually lose the ability
mm-hmm.
to interpret all the nonverbals
right.
of body language and facial expression.
Right.
You're going to lose that ability. Now, an adult will relinquish that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just be less good at it.
Right.
But it's a skill they've developed. Mm-hmm. But if you're a teenager and you haven't developed all those skills
mm-hmm,
yet,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to develop them.
Right.
And it is going to be a permanent change because
right.
you're simply not going to hear tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hear the nuances
right.
in tone of voice.
These are all learned
You learn that
skills.
Stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is thousands of years of evolution. We have learned to interpret facial
mm-hmm.
expression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you don't communicate and look at a person when you're talking to that person, you're not going to develop the ability to read facial expression
right.
in the other person.
Right.
You just don't have to do it.
Now, I'm going to... You made me think of two things. Not three. Two. Things.
That's...
Things. I'll come up with a third one in just a second.
Okay,
but
right. While you're talking...
The first thing... That's right. The first thing is you can even tell, especially in adults, when they are making that shift.
Yeah.
Because... You know, when you're text messaging someone or interacting with someone via social media, you can send a message, send, and then, oh, yeah, and then you start the next one while they're still responding to your first
That's
one.
Right.
And so there's a lot of interrupting.
Right.
And
you don't have to wait for their response.
Right.
There's no obligation. When you're in a face-to-face conversation, good manners,
mm-hmm.
okay, tell you to wait until the other person responds.
Right.
You don't have to do that with text.
And you can see that in adults who spend a lot of time communicating via social mm-hmm. media or technology
right.
because they frequently interrupt and it's like, you know, let me finish my sentence. Right.
Right. No. They will just interrupt because that's what they've gotten accustomed to do. As soon as the next thought pops into your head, you start
right.
typing.
Right.
Is it typing?
Mm-hmm.
Fingering. Thumbing.
It's not fingering.
It's thumbing.
That's something.
Thumbing. Thumbing. Because you use opposable thumbs.
I think it's just typing.
Is that typing?
Yeah.
Okay. So you start typing as soon as the thought pops into your head. And you're absolutely right that when they get into verbal, direct, face-to-face verbal communication,
mm-hmm.
they do that as soon as the thought pops into their head, they start talking.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So the second thing is that when a person doesn't develop that ability to read the social cues and that those social interactions,
right,
we call that a disorder. We call that a developmental disorder.
If it,
oftentimes that's called autism.
Autism used to be called Asperger's, you know, because they don't know how to read social cues.
Right. And I'm being, we're, you know, not at all that we're trying to suggest that the you know, the significant presence of technology is increasing the prevalence of autism. I'm not saying that at all. But what we're saying is that it, we have always seen it as atypical when a person doesn't develop these skills.
That's right. That's
developing
right.
these skills is a typical part of the developmental process. Right. And when we don't develop those things, we have traditionally called that something that we need to treat.
If you don't have age-appropriate social skills, it can become a clinical condition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's what we're worried about now, because
right.
these kids are not developing age-appropriate communication skills.
Right. And the third thing,
I knew that was,
told you it'd come with the third thing. The third thing is that what it does is that it creates a scenario where we communicate verbally in that same direct, concrete, and oftentimes unemotional way
mm-hmm.
in person that we do in technology. And so we become more rude. We mm-hmm. become more, and not necessarily that there's the intent to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, this is just how we communicate. So instead of, you know, I really kind of disagree with what you're saying, mm-hmm. you say, no, you're wrong.
Right.
And it's that abrasiveness that you see more when you have primarily communicated via technology than right. face-to-face.
We've been going to graduation parties. It's end of the school year. We're going to graduation parties. And I noticed that when you talk to teenagers, so we're congratulating kids on graduation. Mm-hmm. So I've noticed that adults will go, the child will enter the room, the graduate will enter the room, and the congratulations, and they'll say, oh, thank you. And there's nothing after that
mm-hmm.
because they're not used to continuing. What should happen is, oh, thank you, I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the beginning of some exchange.
They're looking for the thumbs up button.
Like,
yeah,
you know, that's right. They're waiting for an emoticon,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they've said thank you. And if you're communicating on digitally
mm-hmm,
in a device, you say thank you, and then you wait for the other person
right.
to, and if they don't, then you just move on to somebody else.
Right.
Well, that's what they're doing in real time live communication.
Right.
Because they say thank you, but they don't have the ability to create the next step in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a change that begins to happen when a person focuses too much on social media as their primary form of communication. I do want to note that that to us, it's not so much the amount of time that you spend on social media or in technology, because you know parents will oftentimes come in and say, well, how much time each day
mm-hmm.
should they?
Yeah.
That's less important. What's more important is, are they giving up something in exchange for technology?
Mm-hmm.
Are they giving up dinner with the family to be on social media? That's a problem. Are they giving up an opportunity to hang out with friends
in a real
setting to be on technology? That's a problem.
Are they giving up sleep?
Right. I could care less. I couldn't care less.
I could care less.
I could care less. If my son spends 6 hours on a Saturday on technology, if it's raining outside, there's nowhere to go, there's nothing else to do.
Done with his homework.
I don't care. Yeah.
He's finished his homework. I don't care if he
plays on this Xbox that long.
Makes no difference.
If he has homework and he has, you know, a project to do and I need him to do some things and there's mm-hmm. some other things going on and his friends are asking him to go do something and he's saying, no, I'm going to stay home and play Xbox, that's more of a problem. I don't care about how much time. It's just what is being sacrificed for that time.
And the other thing is, it's not just... if you just limit your child's screen time,
mm-hmm.
like you say, the average is 5 to 7 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
which is high.
So you say, well, I only want you to spend 2 hours on your device. it matters what they're doing with the other 3 hours.
Right.
If they're not doing anything, what should happen is when you say you're not going to bring your phone to the table,
mm-hmm.
well then, why? Well, first of all, you want them to get used to the idea that they don't really need to have
sure.
it 24 hours. Okay. But the second thing you want to do is you want to create a situation at the table that is instructive, that teaches
right.
them something, not give them a lecture,
right.
but that you set up a circumstance where they learn how to communicate.
Right.
You're taking the phone away so that they have the opportunity to develop mm-hmm. their social skills.
Right.
Well, then create the opportunity for them to develop those social skills.
Absolutely.
Don't just sit and watch television together.
Absolutely. It makes me want to pull my hair out when parents say, you know, well, he only has, they proudly say, I only allow 30 minutes of screen time a day.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But then the next sentence is, you know, he just has to find something to do with his time because
right.
he just sits around and he mm-hmm. just annoys all of us and he does this mm-hmm. on purpose and that. Well, if you don't have anything for him to do,
right.
if he doesn't have any homework, he doesn't have any, he's done all of his chores and all this other stuff, why? What is the purpose of
right.
restricting it at mm-hmm. that point?
That's right.
Because now you're just, I had a chance to talk with a stepdad the other day, and it's one of these kinds of situations, and the stepdad is like, you know, he starts getting irritating, and we tell him to go do something, but he doesn't have anything to do. And I said, well, you know, that would be a great opportunity for him to, you know, if he just needs some downtime to mm-hmm. cool down and to get, you know, to
right.
handle this frustration, that'd be a great time for some screen time. And he's like, well, he's only allowed 15 minutes a day.
Why?
That's yeah. an issue.
That's right.
We need to, that's how we need, not that he should have free reign to be able to play as much as he
mm-hmm.
wants,
mm-hmm.
but we need to be a little bit more flexible than that.
That's right. For children in this generation who are attached to their cell phones, you're going to have to do more direct instruction
mm-hmm.
in these other skills.
Right.
You can't expect them to put their cell phones down and to automatically develop the kind
right.
of social skills we developed before the
right.
arrival of cell phones.
You're going to have to create those situations for them.
You're going to have to create situations
yeah.
where they don't have their phone. You have to go fishing. You have to go for walks. You have
mm-hmm.
to play
you
board.
You have to ask them questions and
you
talk
have
to them.
You have to have conversations that keep moving.
Right.
You know, if they're going to sit, it doesn't make any sense to sit at a table with nobody talking,
right.
eat in 15 minutes, and then go get your phone. You haven't accomplished anything.
Right.
You know, you'll gain nothing
right.
by everybody sitting there in silence, eating and running away as quickly as possible.
Right.
Serves no purpose.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so.
But yes, you are. I meant to, there was one other thought, and that is that we've lost the battle.
Right.
We have, what we have to do now is we have to reduce screen time but replace it with something else.
Right.
Okay. But the third thing is there are more and more articles coming out about how damaging the excess reliance on technology is becoming. So we're beginning to get this,
mm-hmm.
We're beginning to hear this other voice. You know, we've all been praising technology. You know, what do we want in schools? We want everybody to have iPads. We want everybody to have a computer. Let's teach kids how to use their cell phones. That's all well and good,
mm-hmm.
okay? But there is a voice that's beginning to emerge now to say, we're overdoing it,
mm-hmm.
and we need to be careful about how we manage this technology,
right?
Because we have gone over some tipping point.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Well, I'd love to hear more about this from our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is a conversation that needs to continue.
We went a little bit longer than usual on this one, but it's an important topic.
Important
so,
topic.
If you have any questions or thoughts or ideas or perspectives that you'd like to share with us, please write to us either on the blog at thementalbreakdown.com. Or on Facebook, or through Twitter, or, you know, social media. Talk to us. Hit us up. It'll be great.
Use all the things we just talked about not using.
That's right. Or on YouTube.
Just
you
let us
YouTube.
Know. Right.
But, yeah,
it's
definitely
a constructive
get in touch with us.
And appropriate use for digital media.
We think so.
So, mm-hmm.
so but definitely stay in touch. And subscribe to us on YouTube. If you watch any of these every once in a while, you do
yeah.
kind of jump on. You know, subscribe. You never know what we're going to talk about. Sometimes we never know what we're going to talk about. Sometimes we just
quit talking.
Sometimes we just look at it and say, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that one today.
So it's fun stuff.
We have some more coming up like that. We do. We have a couple more coming up that are going to be on that in that category.
That's my favorite.
Oh! All right. There was one more thing I was going to say, but I'll hold it for another time. Oh, gosh.
Yeah?
Yeah, better wait.
Cliffhanger. So, all right.
Stay tuned. I'll talk about it the next time we talk about social media.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.